I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. You.
Welcome to Football Land, where we have been given $1 billion by the Qatari government due to a clerical error.
It's fictional.
No, it's not fictional. Well, Mark. We've been given $1 billion to create the world's first football theme park in Qatar for the World Cup in Qatar in 2022 in Qatar.
Right. If
and,
you're listening,
we're building the rides.
Block your ears for a second, Anthony. If you're listening, Anthony's gone slightly mad and genuinely thinks this is real. It's not. It's a comedy improvised podcast where we riff around the world of football and fairground rides.
Do you know what your problem is, Mark?
In a purely fictional way.
You don't believe enough.
Do you believe in fairies at the end of your garden?
Well, there were fairies photographed in the 1920s by two sisters.
You might photograph fairies down the end of your garden.
Oh, yeah, mate. I bet when Crinkley Bottom, Noel Edmonds' theme park, was first built, I bet you thought that that would never exist. And it did, mate.
Oh.
And it only closed because somebody got severely injured.
I've got a bigger question.
Go on.
I had this thought the other day and it was troubling. It's been troubling me. It's sort of blowing my mind. If Football Land, whether it's real or not, if Football Land had a podcast, what would it be? Would it be this?
Right.
Or would it be something else?
Are you saying we've got to do another podcast on top of this?
No, I'm not.
Because we've got to create a fictional podcast.
I don't know. I thought about this in the shower and then I just curled up in the shower tray.
I can help you there because Football Land isn't real, but this podcast is real.
Yeah.
So does that mean this podcast isn't real
exactly.
Because Football Land is real?
Football Land. So we're going to have to cancel our guest today, Spencer Owen.
Oh.
Because
he's lined up, he's raring to go.
He doesn't realise it's not real. Let's have a pretend Spencer Owen pitching his real ride at the real theme park, Football Land.
That's good for me.
We're doing. We need to fill this theme park, lads,
right,
with rides.
Yeah.
Football themed rides, hopefully. And we've got three more ideas today.
One of you is going to have to draw me a diagram.
Sure. Let's have a jingle.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it will be to go to Football Land one day. Hey!
Ryan, you've got an idea first. You're in the ideas zone. What have you got?
Yeah, it's Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
So, you know.
Oh, so you guys believe in Father Christmas now?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So is extremely confusing.
Who do you think brings the presents? Who do you think flies all around the world in 24 hours?
I'll tell you what, my niece the other day said, I'd like this present, showed me on Amazon, it was £75. I said, oh, bit pricey. And she said, it's okay, we can get Father Christmas to bring that and it will be free. This is the rapid consumerism.
She had me by
the absolute balls.
Wow,
fair play to her.
Fair
play to her.
She's been working on that for 12 months.
Doesn't fit in a stocking. It's like 6 foot by 3 foot, you know.
What is it?
It's a snooker table.
What the fuck is it? Yeah, okay. Well, in the spirit of Christmas, because this is Christmas.
We're going to sing a carol.
I'm going to tell you a story.
Oh, great.
Brilliant.
I'm calling it Elfinger the City. Elfinger the City. So this is a story of a man called Elfinger.
Right.
He's a white-haired gentleman who looked a little like a sort of shrunken-head Gordon Ramsay.
Like shrunken-head like in a like vinegar sort of vat, tiny onion head.
Like conker head.
Like
they used to do in certain civilizations back in the day.
The shrunken tiny heads of,
And he liked to play football in the city, so much so that it said that he even played for the city.
Right.
Should I do this in more of a children's...
No, I like
I'm
it. It's kind of quite breathy, like you're auditioning for the
it's
Archers.
It's quite inappropriately sexy.
Yeah,
oh, okay. I'll try and cheer it up a bit. How about that?
If I go up a little?
I think that would wear thin quite quickly.
Okay, let's see if I do a few lines like that.
Okay.
Right? Until one day, he was tackled so badly that he couldn't have children.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
He couldn't have children after that?
To Elfinger, yeah.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Just still on the voice.
So is Roy Keane the dad?
Yeah.
Let's, you know, you're like one of those people in the cinema, aren't you? Yeah. Where you keep asking the questions.
Yeah.
Is Roy Keane the dad? Is what I always ask. Especially in Star Wars.
So there's a man called Elfinger. He liked playing football. He looked a bit like a shrunken head Gordon Ramsay. Mm. He liked playing football so much. And then one day he got tackled so badly he couldn't have children.
Yeah.
Pretty sad, right? So Elfinger got sad and he went to the far north. The far, far north, his native land, right?
Uh-huh.
But when he got further north.
Oh, Hartlepool. Like,
well, he went to Leeds first, but then after Leeds, he went back to Norway.
Right.
Like, he's on the edge of the Arctic Circle, let's say, right? Yeah. And when he got home, he realised that he had a giant human baby in his kit bag.
Right.
Yeah. And so he did what any responsible human adult would do that apparently really loves children. He kept it.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, he did. And so when the baby grew up, it looked a little like a kind of creepy, half-deflated sex doll. Mm. But that didn't stop Elfinger loving him.
Yeah.
No, he loved that baby. And as it turned out, the giant, creepy, deflated sex doll baby also liked playing football like his dad. But in a cruel twist, he was even better than his kidnapper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh.
He was, like, so good. And even though Elfinger feared that letting the child hostage go might ultimately lead the authorities back to him and that things might not go well for him in prison, despite the very liberal nature of the far, far north's prison system. So he let the creepy giant deflated sex doll hostage baby go to the big city. Yeah. And so through the Bryn Forest he went, across the Mulder Sea, down the Salzburg ski jump and down the Dortmund mine tunnel.
Oh, right. Hang on a minute. The Dortmund mine tunnel.
The Dortmund mine tunnel. Right. And so finally he gets to the shipping canal and he goes along the shipping canal and there he meets in the city a very gruff old man who it turns out was his father's tormentor.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh. But the giant melty sex doll baby scored a goal so good that he melted the gruff man's heart and they became friends and they recorded some kind of 1-hour special on Sky Sports in which they probably, the gruff old man interviewed the giant sex doll looking baby, sort of melty sex doll baby in a car probably.
In a car
or walking around a kind of a gas.
Or having a breakfast in Debenhams canteen before that was cruelly taken from us.
Exactly. And then they lived happily ever after.
Oh, what a story.
That is a beautiful
story. What a story.
But the question I've got...
Go on. I've got a few.
Is... How do I turn this into a ride?
That was my main question.
I mean, if it's just a book in the gift store, I don't know how well that's going to do.
I was thinking maybe it could be...
doesn't celebrate Christmas.
Like a Christmas ice fairy tale at the Squeaky Bum Time Arena on ice.
That would be lovely.
Acting out the story with ice skaters.
I wondered if it was kind of like a kids' land type thing, or maybe it was a bit like Crystal Maze and the journey you sort of
I don't think This is the trouble with parts of the story. I don't think in a kids' ride you can have someone tackling someone so violently that they can't have children anymore.
And I'm also not sure, even in the ice version, which I think is a good possible solution to making it something substantial in the park, I'm not sure you can have a giant deflated sex doll whizzing around on the ice if it's a story for children.
But it's a male sex doll.
Well, even so...
I think they're still quite anatomically correct, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But if it's deflated, the penis will be flaccid. I'm guessing.
That helps. Will that need an extra third roller skate?
We could put trousers on him.
But that would be defeating
the
object.
Yeah, but then you'd have to have, you know, a lot of explainer in the dialogue saying this is actually a sex doll. It's just a mannequin and with trousers on.
Would it work, like you said, his dad had a shrunken head but normal-sized body? If the son that wasn't his son had a normal sized head but a shrunken body, would that work?
It could do. I think I see the dad as like, so he looks like a shrunken head Gordon Ramsay. Let's not forget Gordon Ramsay's head is massive.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
By the time you've shrunken it down, it looks normal size.
Yeah.
So. And what I was thinking with the sex doll was it's more that Erling Haaland's face looks like it's about to fold in on itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like a sex doll's deflated from the head first, like...
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's sort of almost like in that weird shape.
So that would distract from the stonking great hard on it may or may not have.
Mm. Yeah.
No one would look at that.
There's
if
so much
head
else.
Is.
You could have someone ice skating next to it with a bicycle pump, sort of yeah. pumping it up.
Yeah.
Just keeping it at the
deflating
right...
Deflating it, keeping yeah. it at the right
You probably
volume,
need
yeah.
a whole train of ice skaters just holding his penis on the shoulder ahead of him.
I
like it. I like your idea of a Christmas skating bonanza.
Yeah, I really like
especially
that
especially in Qatar because it's a hot country.
Yeah,
people need to cool down.
Yeah,
I don't understand why they're not playing the World Cup games on an ice rink, or
yeah,
at least
it makes total sense.
Or
yeah.
at least you know, in the NHL, they've got you know they can turn concrete to ice in like an hour.
It's less than that. It's seconds.
Right.
It's seconds. You just throw a switch and boom.
And then you could just put some AstroTurf on that and the pitch is freezing.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, players running around sort of almost like trying not to touch the ground because it's so cold.
It's like the reverse of undersoil heating.
Exactly. Why don't they have that in Qatar?
But, why don't they? Well, let's raise that with the authorities when we're building this park.
Yeah, because they keep saying, oh, we'll just have games in the night. It's like, well, you've got the way you've done the World Cup, you've got like six games a day. Gonna have them all in the night, like kicking off at half hour intervals.
I'm sure I've said this before. It's actually quite cold in Qatar in the winter at night.
But
it's about 12 degrees.
But not cold enough to go ice skating. We will have to put some ice.
No, it's not that cold. But what they have done is they've air conditioned all the arenas. And if you know anything about air conditioning in a large venue,
it gets too cold.
They can never turn it off.
No.
By the time they've turned it off, it's the next day usually, or you know, it's retained all of that cool. So there's going to be. I reckon there's going to be. I might put a cheeky bit on a hypothermia case.
A hypothermia case?
Yeah.
In the stadium, of a fan or a player?
Either.
Wow.
It could be a third choice goalkeeper.
Will the bookies take odds on that, do you think?
I mean, they take odds on anything.
They have to, don't they?
They would take,
I wonder what odds you'd get. Who is your favourite for going...
Getting hypothermia while playing?
Yeah.
I feel like if anyone in the England team is not going to get hypothermia, I feel like Luke Shaw won't. I feel like he's quite a solid, compact player.
Hardy.
I think his heat retention is going to be quite
high. I think Harry Maguire might. He suffers with cold extremities.
Well, I think also his forehead will hemorrhage heat.
Yeah.
Like he will lose heat a lot
area,
on that surface area.
Yeah. He needs almost like a knitted fringe. He's got his little spiky, like, kind of hair. He's always ruffling it up. But he should be growing. He should have, like, one of those kind of early 2000s emo fringes.
Yeah.
He should have that, because...
He needs to grow one of them for the World Cup.
He really
does. If his forehead gets really cold, and if he's part of this magical Fantasia on ice, wouldn't it be a lovely touch if on his ice-cold forehead there was a miniature version of that very show going on?
What, projected?
Fractal pattern. No, it's actually happening.
Right.
Like fractal patterns. And if you can isolate the tiny Harry Maguire that's going on the real Harry Maguire's head and look at the tiny Maguire's head, there's an even more microscopic version of the show going on.
It's a bit like those Christmas cakes where you put a scene on the top.
Yeah,
And you get it out of the box every year and put it on a new cake.
Well, a lot of the Squeaky Bum Time Arena is a 100,000 capacity stadium.
Mm.
Okay, let's be frank here. The views from the very back are going to be not great enough to watch
West Ham-esque.
To watch an ice skating sort of show. So we could station at least mannequins of Harry Maguire for the back row audience just to watch the miniature show going on his forehead.
You need to make sure it's synced with the actual show. It would be confusing if... You get a sense something major's just kicked off down there.
And then you've got to wait a couple of seconds for the radio delay.
You know something dramatic is going to happen on the tiny Harry Maguire's head next to you, but you haven't seen it yet.
So
you've paused the football and someone texts you, oh, great goal, oh, cheers.
Or you're listening to Five Live in the kitchen, but the game's on in the sitting room. Mm. That's the difficulty with live performance.
I know.
So someone... the technology's going to have to be spot on.
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah.
We've got the money.
Yeah, we got the money. We got the money.
Like we always keep saying, you know, we've got plenty of time to work this out.
Yeah.
To iron out the creases.
Yeah. We've got less time than when we started, I guess.
Still a lot of time and a lot of money.
Can we make these Harry Maguire figurines out of, like, all the discarded sex dolls? The male sex dolls. So
I don't see why not.
Why are they discarded? How are we getting through so many? Have there been ice skate accidents? Keep popping them.
If you're a bit too enthusiastic with the sex doll, will it pop?
I think you'd have to either be very enthusiastic and you're wearing through it, sort of heat from friction maybe, or you've got to have a very pointy helmet.
Not if the sex doll is male. You're not going to be humping the penis, are you?
Yeah, Ryan, what are you talking about? What's your idea of sex?
If it's deflated, you could poke the penis in. And you could go penis.
That's the ultimate sex doll, isn't it?
And you could go penis and penis.
Invert the penis and happy days if that's what you're into. And if you're not, just through the bum hole and the penis comes back out.
And invert your own penis at the same time.
All right, all those in favour of the Elf Inga the City Harry Maguire forehead ice show, with sex dolls, of course. All in favour of that garbage, say aye after three. 3, 2, 1...
Aye.
Yes.
It's brilliant. Really good to get more events at the Squeaky Bum Time.
Yeah, it's
entertaining and informative. So, my turn. I'm going to pitch something called Get Your Kit On.
Ooh.
So, it was inspired by the maddening reality of substitutes not being ready.
Yeah.
There's just no excuse. Mm. It happens far too often. Yep. A manager, like, there's a crisis replacement because there's an injury, or an urgent tactical replacement, and the substitute is not ready. He's been sat there for 80 minutes. What is he doing?
So, some of them are just almost not even wearing kit. At all. I'm pretty sure I've seen somebody put on shorts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Socks is definitely common. Shirts common. Shin pads, boots, all of that's pretty common. But I'm pretty sure I've seen some.
Yeah. They're just sat there fully dressed from the knee down and nothing else.
Just in a shirt and tie.
It is unforgivable. Seat. I did try and track this down. I can't remember. I'm sure I saw it where a substitute was about to go onto the field with the wrong shirt on. He did have a full kit, but it was the wrong shirt and he had to go back into the changing room. Is that ringing any bells?
He might have been given the wrong shirt by the kit man.
Definitely not the footballer's fault because they are beyond all blame.
Yeah.
And they're on top of
it. Who was it wasn't mentally ready? Was it David James? I can't remember which keeper. There was as a substitute and he just wasn't mentally ready to play.
Yes.
And, you know, conceded a couple of quite blameful goals.
And it was Tevez, wasn't it? Said he wasn't mentally ready and refused to go on.
Well, Tevez doesn't like playing football.
Yeah.
Carlos Tevez has never really enjoyed football that much, which is the ultimate curse.
Career.
He'd rather be playing cricket
when
or squash.
When he was sat in his career's officer's office at school.
Yeah.
And he just said the first thing that came into his mind. But he hates football.
Yeah. I think it was the...
He wanted to be a marine engineer. So this is an experience or a ride that kind of encapsulates that spirit of you have to get your clothes on, you're about to be needed.
Right. Mm.
So you start on a platform, totally nude.
Okay.
It's a greased platform.
Yeah.
You have various bits of football kit around you.
Yeah.
The platform will start to vibrate.
Right.
Water cannons will fire at you. Things will be thrown at you. The platform will tilt at various angles and you have to get your kit on.
Okay. Within a certain time limit.
Yeah, within a certain time limit. And then you have to go on live TV, so which is beamed all the way around the world.
I was just about to say this sounds very Japanese and then you added that and it just became very Japanese game show.
Yeah.
So unless you want to be seen in your undercrackers, you're going to have to work hard to get fully dressed before you're beamed around.
Before you're beamed live on air to be shown all around football land and around the world.
And around the world.
On a not even like an obscure Sky channel. We're talking in the top 100.
Well, I'm in negotiation for various landmarks around the world for your image to pop up.
Yeah.
Like on the side of Big Ben, the Sears Tower.
Why would people want to do this?
Because it's a blooming laugh.
Right.
It's a challenge.
Could we nominate people? Is it we do like to do this? You know, it's almost like the gift card experience. And I'm just thinking, this happens to me fairly regularly. So on a Saturday morning, I'm having a lie-in. Imagine this: I'm in my bed shorts. Also known as boxer shorts.
Yeah. Did you call them bed shorts?
Yeah.
Like, just that's quite 19th century,
just
isn't
to it? Sort of class it up. Just, you know, so
night
shorts. Imagine this. I'm in my bed shorts. I'm under the duvet. I've got a cup of hot coffee in one hand. I'm reading a book in the other.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Doorbell goes.
Oh,
yeah.
Postie.
Yeah.
He's got my post, and so I have to leap up, not spill the coffee, not lose my page, quickly whip on some non-bed shorts.
Yeah.
Because I can
dampen down the morning horn.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that the surprise.
You've got a magazine full of Conservative MPs from the 1990s just to look at.
I
dampen it down.
The surprise has sort of done that to me.
Uh-huh.
But I've got to whip on some bed shorts and a t-shirt. I don't have to, but I feel for the posties.
For sure, of course.
You know, I can go in my pants, and I have done sometimes. And then I've got to get downstairs and to the front door. Unlock it before the second knock comes, because I also don't want to enrage him. I know he's got a lot on. He's got a lot of deliveries and he's got this.
He probably won't be that bothered. He'll just chuck it in the bin and forget about it.
So what I'm thinking is that we have something that they need. We've taken their clothes from them.
I was going to say, how about we tie this in with the stay at the International Break Hotel?
Very good.
When you stay at the International Break Hotel, you wake up in the morning, you don't have any clothes on, do you? You don't have any clothes.
No.
We have gone in the night, we've taken your clothes from you.
Brilliant.
And we've put them on a platform within the room. Maybe it's in front of a mirror.
This is good.
That mirror is a two-way mirror with a camera behind it. You're going to go live to the nation on this. There is the platform with the lube.
And
and it vibrates. And then obviously you're on live TV, but the jeopardy is you have to do it, because
if we've
we
gone
take
in,
all your other clothes.
If we've gone in to get
on.
The clothes,
the
does that
on.
Mean
it's high.
Like you'll see all the clothes that have been discarded on the chair or whatever,
yeah.
and that's easy, but you have to crawl up underneath the duvet and debag them, take their night shorts, because I don't ever sleep nude. I have night shorts or whatever you call them.
Bed shorts.
One of us is going to have to crawl up. Not one of us, literally, but one of our staff is going to have to.
What percentage of people in the world sleep naked, do you reckon?
Probably higher than you think.
Yeah.
And in a hotel, even higher.
23%?
You're less worried about kind of, you know, scrotum sweat on the freshly laundered sheets.
Maybe we wake the bed very hot. A very hot bed to sleep
very
in.
Very hot bed.
Very hot bed. Very cold rest of the room.
So
we've got weather patterns happening in the room.
Another challenge I thought of was get your kit on. You're being asked to replace the mascot. So that will be even harder to get, like, all the Gunnosaurus gear on if you're on.
Especially if you're covered in lube.
You're
getting like matted in Leo the Lion's mane. You know what I mean? It's like, oh God, I'm all tangled.
Yeah.
You've only got one hand spare, so you're going to have to sort of, and the countdown clock's reached 3, 2, 1, and you're either going to have to.
My grandma's watching me on the telly now.
With the head of Bertie the Bee and pants off in the bottom half.
We interrupt Loose Women to show you a giant bee with knackers.
Covered in KY jelly.
With a tiny frozen penis, but very sweaty feet. Standing on the
and then how
bed.
Long are you on the TV for until you put the rest of your clothes on? Or is it just like 10 seconds of
10
someone
seconds
completely
with your name
naked?
And your full contact details. That's your identity.
Number.
That's your passport photo from then on. If this becomes really popular, that might be become quite annoying for mobile phone users all over the world if we can scramble the signal and they're trying to just send an email and they're just getting wall-to-wall giant bee heads with penises and bank details. I just want to send an email.
You've maybe hit on something there that if we want this to be... Shameful shaming.
That
I think there's a strategy that people are going to go straight for the head first. They're going to cover up their face. Even though you've got the details, you're hoping that, you know, most people think it's another, you know, Darren Warburton.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so they're not putting two and two together. Whereas, so I think if it is mascots, we should definitely put the heads in the furthest part of the room.
I think that's wise. Yeah, the most important thing that people are going to go for should be the hardest thing to get hold of.
Can I just ask a question of tactics? Like, I disagree with that premise completely. I think if I were on a vibrating platform full of KY jelly with the direction, I'd be putting on
hold
my
on,
pants.
Where's your horn come from?
I think this is part of it, right?
Oh.
And I would put my pants on first. I wouldn't be struggling about with a Burnley Bertie the Beathead.
If you've got a raging hard on, even with pants on, it's still going to be quite shaming.
But at least you've got
some
modicum of decency.
You're on a vibrating thrashing platform.
Like a bucking bronco sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's covering in KY jelly.
Right.
And then you're trying to get pants on. Very difficult. You're going to have to go onto one foot.
On your back, I think. Yeah. You're going to have to go on your back like a beetle.
Exactly.
And then you're not getting up again.
If you time that wrong, exactly.
Imagine that. If that was timed wrong and your gleaming, glistening bum hole, leg spread akimbo.
Yeah.
That's going to
vary.
With like the Bristol Rovers pirate hat on top.
So all those in favour of Get Your Kit On being part of the International Break Hotel within Football Land, after three, say aye. 3, 2, 1.
Aye. Yes.
Well
just
done, Mark.
Firm.
Can't wait to get all the costumes.
Footballand. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mm.
gents, we have a guest, Spencer Owen, CEO of Hashtag United. We are going to have to get into the pipe to interview him. So let's get into that pipe so we can get into the Wayne Lineker testicle. So everyone hold hands.
Have you got any of that lube?
Yeah, we've got plenty. We've got too much now, if anything.
I don't know if any of this is real or not, or if Spencer's
get
real.
In the pipe, Mark.
I'm in the pipe.
Get in the pipe.
I'm in the pipe.
Right, gentlemen, in the meeting room, I'm really proud to present Spencer Owen, who is the CEO of Hashtag United. Welcome, Spencer.
Hello. How you doing, guys?
We're really well, Spencer. As you know, you're inside a giant fiberglass testicle giving this pitch.
Not for the first time.
The Wayne Lineker fiberglass testicle. How much theme park experience have you got? Have you been to many theme parks before?
I've got plenty of theme park experience. I've got... when I was a kid, actually, my parents won a trip to go to Alton Towers Hotel and stay in the chocolate room. Do you remember this, the chocolate room?
I've been to a different chocolate room.
It had a vending machine of the theme park. It had a vending machine that was unlimited chocolate. So as a kid, you're like, any chocolate bar, just unlimited. But we got there and the vending machine was bloody out of order. So they just gave us a box of roses. I was like, no, you understand, I had a plan. I'd bought my biggest anorak. I was going to absolutely store this stuff up and sell it at school. But and then I also went to a very cool place. I've done all the classics, but I went to a place called Futurescope once in France, which is right up your...
I've heard of that.
I've been there.
You've been there, Mark?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Mark's been to two theme parks. You've been to like some shit one in Kent.
Dreamland. Ben Bond Brothers. And then Futurescope. It's just outside Poitiers, isn't it?
Yeah. I went there, I was probably about 12, I think.
Can you remember any rides you went on?
No, the only bit I remember of that is my mum is a bit mental. And there was this like roller disco, like restaurant where people go around on rollerblades. And my mum ended up, it wasn't like a karaoke or anything. My mum ended up on a stage singing Grease songs in front of the whole, like, trust me, my mum's crazy. It was just a bit embarrassing.
While on rollerblades.
I can't remember if she was on rollerblades or not, but it wouldn't have made it any more weird. Trust me, it was weird enough already.
That's amazing.
Great stuff. All right, cool. Right, so every guest on Football Land Pitch is a ride, and we're going to vote to see whether we bring it in. We're going to grill you on it, Spencer. So what is your ride idea?
Right, my ride idea is, I think, probably the future of football gaming, but maybe football in general, to be honest, depending on how big your imagination is. But you know, I saw this thing on Gadget Show once. I can't remember what game it was for. It was either for like Call of Duty or Battlefield or something. But it was this simulator where you put, virtual reality style, you put the headset on, but it was way more than that. There's something called a 360 treadmill. I don't know if you've seen them, but it's like these treadmills that move in every direction. So basically, they move the way you move. So if you move to your left, move to your right, backwards, forwards, you can sprint. You can do every sort of movement you want. You don't actually go anywhere, but you're exerting the energy. And they'd set it up so that when this guy was playing, and they actually had Andy McNabb doing it.
What, from the SAS?
From the Andy McNabb.
He's fictional.
He did such a terrible job at being anonymous as well, didn't he?
Is he not? If he's fictional, it's the guy that wrote the books. He's definitely real.
No, he's definitely
joking.
Real.
He's real. He's definitely real. And he's really SAS, and he's top secret.
He and Otis Dealey from The Gadget Show are best mates.
Yeah, Andy McNabb was loving it, to be fair. He basically, it's like real life Call of Duty or whatever. So if he got shot in the game, they had paintball guns set up around the room at 360 degrees angle. So if he got shot, but he got shot from the angle he got shot from.
Yeah,
and like, it was completely immersive. And so it was linked to the game. He'd have to move around. And it was so realistic that in the episode... So let's say he was doing a level and it took him, say, 2-3 minutes to clear this level, and then he had to move on to the next area. Rather than moving on at the end, he spent like 10 minutes going around this empty computer game level because he was like, that's what we do in the army, making sure it was clear. And he thought he was literally back in the war zone.
Wow.
So you've got one end of the scale is that. And then the other end of the scale is when Ronnie O'Sullivan tried VR and he played snooker. Did you see that? When he was just playing on a pretend table. And then he leant down on the pretend table to take a long shot and he just fell on the floor. Have you seen that?
I've not seen it.
He and Andy McNabb should really like do a trading places, like wife swap style.
I'm not sure the demand for like Oculus Rift snooker, to be fair. I'm not sure the demand on snooker in general, let alone Oculus Rift version. But
no.
Yeah, like I saw that and I thought that could be where football goes, like in terms of people that like playing games like FIFA or whatever, like, you know, if, I don't know if you've ever played pro clubs, but pro clubs are like where you play as one player on the team. So it's like getting a bit closer to real football. You know, you control just yourself. I'm thinking, where can that go in the future? So you're not just holding a controller and all that, but you're feeling like you're playing football without playing it. And I'm wondering, is there a world where you have a 360 in this theme park ride? You go in the little area, you'd have a 360 treadmill set up, you put your goggles on. The bit I can't quite get my head around, which is where I need some sort of technical help, I guess, is like how your interaction with the football works. Is there actually a football, or is it more like you think there's a football and you're moving your leg in that direction? Probably the latter.
It should almost definitely be like Ronnie O'Sullivan, right? It just no football and people just falling over all the time.
I guess you have like a haptic feedback suit, right? So that it can, you know, you can feel where an imaginary ball would be.
Yeah, you'd need some kind of resistance to it. You'd need some kind of weight that you were reacting against. I'm sure I've mentioned this on the podcast before, so stop me if I have, but there, a lot of this cutting-edge technology, as with everything, is first developed in the sex industry, and they are experimenting with electroskeletal genitalia so that you can have virtual sex with someone on the other side of the world, and it will correspond exactly to, you know, the male and female or female on female or whatever dimensions. And
what trade magazines are you reading, Mark, where this is coming up? Why do you keep on saying about the innovations in the sex industry?
That was in the Saga catalogue that came through the door.
So you're saying that we get Anne Summers involved?
I mean, she could do a job up front as well. She's quite useful at nodding in them corners.
So, Spencer, are you imagining like, 22 treadmills all in separate booths, a bit like Ready Player One?
It'd be like when you go and play paintball or whatever, it'd be like an experiential thing. You go out.
Yeah.
But it would allow you to, like, you could be really good in this world. Maybe there's a reason you can't play football in real life. I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of thing that's stopping you, but you can go and do this, and it's almost like the next version of it. And I think it's definitely, if they get the technology right, it could be the future of, like, football gaming, but it could actually impact football in general, like, on the Ready Player One angle. Like, imagine where football might go in the next 30, 40, 50 years. You never know. I feel like there's some sort of big innovation coming in. But what I like about it is, like, you could have different game styles. So, like, let's say you get these foreign footballers that come over to England. They take a little bit of time to adapt, don't they? You put them in one of these, you put the setting to English, right? And they just get sly tackles come at them left, right, and centre. You know, they're getting bodied on the floor. You put the setup, you change it to Brazil, and it's all about Yoga Benito, and you're doing rainbow flicks and whatever. So you could, like, tailor your game. And you have these guys, these equivalent of paintball guns. I don't know, like a massive, something comes in and just takes your legs away, basically.
I like that idea. Do you ever when you watch keepers warm up and the goalkeeping coach has just got two massive rugby tackle like pads and they're just like slightly pushing against them, aren't they, when they're going up for corners? And it's never quite the same. Like it's a soft pad, whereas in real life you've got like Peter Crouch's elbows in your eye socket. I don't think anything quite prepares you for English football, but yeah, you're right. Like, there's got to be the angle of why 22 players would play this virtual one and not just have a kickabout in real life.
Maybe when you come to Football Land and you plug into this game, you can put yourself into a famous football match. So maybe you could become centre mid in Spain versus Netherlands 2010 World Cup final, and you get karate kicked by De Jong. Like, you can live that out.
Howard Webb just goes, yeah, that's
maybe
right.
Maybe the kind of South, almost any kind of South American semi-final where the spectators run on and kick the shit out of you as well could be like a nice experience.
I'd like to see how long you could survive as a ref whenever all the players come on and there's a fence you've got to scale.
That would be amazing if somebody used this technology to be a ref.
That's what I was going
to say. Yeah. or a member of the crowd that runs on. So you can potentially be running in whatever direction you want on this 360 degree treadmill, just punching the living fuck out of everything that you come up against.
Or the England Euros final, you know.
Why stop at the pitch?
Stamp on Harry Maguire's dad.
It's kind of like GTA, isn't it? Like, you've got all these missions to do, but everyone just goes on there and kills pedestrians. Like, you can play football, or you can just take out the linesman.
I'll tell you what, it could actually, like, as well, on a serious note, you've got an underperforming lower morale player in your Premier League club. You stick him in the simulator, you set it on easy, and you get them their confidence up again. They should have done that with Danny Drinkwater long ago.
I went to a place a couple of months ago in Bournemouth called the Footy Lab, and it's set up by the guys who used to be the owners of Bournemouth Football Club. And essentially, it's technology. They actually, so as well as creating centres like this one in Bournemouth, their main business is they sell this technology, like to Barcelona, for example. You know, have you seen those sort of, they're like a little circle you get in and you've got to kick, it's like a batak board. You've got to kick the football against the board at a certain, lights light up, you've got to get the ball back and keep moving it on. You get a score for it. So their idea is like actually gamifying football. So they'll take this to Barcelona. They'll say, okay, Iniesta did this. He got a score of 172. In the exact same conditions, what can you get? And you can actually compare yourself as footballers. So that, again, that's almost like, what's good about that is it allows you to train and take part in something as an individual. So when you haven't got 20 other people around you. So maybe that's what this is. It's like, you know, the ability to play in high intensity environments without necessarily having the game to play.
There was a moment where you said about sort of barriers to entry, you know, what might be holding people back from playing football. I think the main thing is effort. Most people are just completely bone idle. Like, we all could have been amazing footballers if you could only be asked. And so I wondered, there's a worry there that if this is about kind of helping sort of, you know, people get that footballing experience, it sort of, it requires a lot of effort still. And I'm a bit worried. Is there a way we could remove the treadmill and sort of somehow make this into a, like a sofa or an armchair so you can sort of sit in your armchair still, and maybe it's like a exoskeleton. Maybe it does the running for you, and you're sort of, I don't know, maybe if you're just thinking about it, like...
you want, instead of that, is you want to just sit down and think about football.
Yeah.
Right.
How good you could be.
But then actually you probably find there are people out there who, like, maybe they're disabled or something that's stopping them being able to actually play, and they actually have a great football in mind.
Exactly.
So what Ryan's suggesting is actually probably much more closer to the way it will go, like Matrix style sort of thing, isn't it? You can imagine.
And it's almost like, you know, how good you think you are. You know what I mean? It's almost like it's almost, even then the kind of the braggarts of this world would be they would be incredible.
But doesn't that open the way for the most depressing thing ever? Like, even in my imagination, I'm shit.
Yes.
Well, that's it.
You'd be so disappointed. Yeah. Oh, my God.
The world's the oyster. I can do whatever I want, and I've just missed a sitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Spencer, what's the name of the ride?
Okay, what should we call it? I'm tempted to call it Future Scope. It's kind of like the future of football. Yeah. And obviously,
fuck it. Let's
got
take
that,
over Poitiers.
Well, all the logo's done then. You don't need to do any kind of branding or design. Just borrow theirs.
Cool. Calling it Future Scope. Sounds good. I can't see any lawsuits.
I think
there.
This idea's got legs. I'm not trying to poo-poo my own idea here, but I think it's got legs in terms of the future of football. But how does it attract people to football land? And how does it? What's the unique thing that you guys can offer there that you can't do somewhere else?
Usually we just have someone like Les Ferdinand endorsing it.
There you go.
Yeah, so don't worry about that. Yeah. We'll just get a footballer to stand outside it and point. I mean, we've got Lee Catamol running a petting zoo, mate. So, no, I think...
Troy Deeney with a megaphone should get him in.
Right, all in favour of Future Scope by Spencer Owens, say aye. 3, 2, 1...
Aye.
Congratulations,
unanimous.
Spencer.
Unanimous. I love this.
Unanimous.
You're in.
Good.
I love this.
You must be dead proud.
I'm going to tell my mum to get the roller skates ready, and she can be there for the opening, maybe.
Oh, sing some Elvis.
She could be the Diana Ross of Futuroscope. Is she able to sing whilst missing a penalty? Because we want her.
What a wonderful episode.
Oh.
Many thank you, Spencer, for pitching your real ride at a real football land on a fake podcast.
Pretend.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, very good.
Lovely.
Good.
All right.
It was
nice.
A real smorgasbord.
Yeah.
A smorgasbord.
And Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Have a lovely
rate
one.
Us 5 stars. Become a Patreon where you can pitch your own ride to football land.
Send us a jingle.
We'll play it.
Rip the mic out
send
of it.
Send anything to us. Listen, tell
send
all
us
of your
stuff.
Friends.
Send us anything.
And we'll see you again after Christmas.
Yeah, and be nice to people.
Be
it's
nice.
Christmas.
For goodness sake. All right, bye bye. All right, bye bye. 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 Bye
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.